Hey everybody, it's Brock Falk, and I want to thank you for listening to this message from Heritage Church of Christ. We would be thrilled to share more content like this with you and make it easy for you to share it with others. You can find more messages like this on our podcast, or you can download our smartphone app by searching for Heritage Church of Christ in your app store. But most importantly, I hope this message encourages you to take a next step toward a thriving relationship with Jesus. Enjoy. My name's Brock Falk, and I'm preaching online today instead of to an audience because we're all experiencing the isolating effects of COVID-19 that has changed our daily routines and our ability to gather in person for the foreseeable future. And it goes without saying that this entire event has been a major disruption for all of us. But I want you to know that during this time, our leadership team here at Heritage is praying for you, praying that with God's help, this might be a season when you experience a surprising level of peace in the midst of the world's panic. But that's going to require plugging into God, connecting with God so that you can access that peace and be reminded of God's promises about our future and our identity and our reasons for hope. And that's what we're working on today in our time together and in this series of messages that we've called Plugged In. We're strengthening our connection to God to guide us through these rather unusual circumstances. Now, one of the common themes that I've heard from everyone that I've talked to over the last couple of weeks is that life just got harder with the beginning of this quarantine. It got harder to get work done because of social distancing. It got harder to get the groceries and the necessities that we need because of shortages and long lines at the stores where we shop. It got harder to finish the school year because everyone's transitioning to distance learning. And the list goes on and on. Life just got harder this week for most of us. And for most of us, life wasn't particularly easy before. We had plenty of challenges and responsibilities to keep us busy before the pandemic started. And it can be a real shock to your system when the road in front of you suddenly gets harder to walk. A few years ago, I went with a group of students from our church on a hiking expedition in the mountains of Colorado. Now, I've lived most of my life in places that were less than 700 feet above sea level. So the adjustment of going to 7,000 feet and higher is challenging anyway. But let me tell you something else I noticed as we trekked up into those mountains. At the beginning of our hike, the trail we were walking was gentle and smooth. Now, we were carrying heavy backpacks and our lungs were adjusting to the oxygen levels at that altitude, so it wasn't an easy hike, but the trail made us feel pretty confident, like we could handle this. But the next day we got into the foothills and the trail started getting a little steeper. And there were logs that we had to step over, and there were streams that we had to wade across, and all the while we were climbing a little higher and a little higher with less and less oxygen available to breathe. So the journey was getting a little bit harder with every step. But then it was on the third day of hiking that I really started to notice the surprises that were in store for us. Because on the third day, we passed the timber line where it's too high for trees to grow. And from there, it seemed like the trail kept going up and up and up, steeper and steeper and steeper. And as we climbed higher, there were fewer plants. And then, when we reached an elevation of about 13,000 feet above sea level, there were no plants at all. It was just a huge pile of rocks at the summit of the mountain. And it was slippery and it was treacherous and it was unlike any of the climbing that we had done earlier in the trip. And I remember standing there at the base of that pile of rocks trying to catch my breath and thinking to myself, this is about to get even harder. Because on day one, we were walking in the mountains. On day two, we were hiking in the mountains. But then on day three, we were mountain climbing. And we took longer breaks, and at the end of every break, we had to muster the energy and force every muscle in our lungs to keep moving forward. Now, the purpose of going on the trip in the first place, the reason we went, is because climbing up the mountains like that is a great metaphor that relates to many aspects of the spiritual life. And being a disciple and experiencing the best parts of life with God, it's a journey. And while it's beautiful and worthwhile, there are going to be moments when the next step in front of you will feel much more difficult than the steps that you've already taken. You will think to yourself, this is going to get even harder. On our mountain climbing trip, it was only by forcing ourselves to keep climbing that we were able to enjoy the incredible view that we got to see at the mountain's highest point. Now, that may sound a little bit like where your life is today. No matter how this coronavirus quarantine is affecting you, whether it's loneliness or fear that are on your mind, or unemployment or illness or something else that are capturing your thoughts today, there's a good chance that you're climbing in one of those spiritual zones that feels much harder than the last one. But that feeling that it's getting harder, that's always been a part of the spiritual life. And I want to show you something in the experience of Jesus's earliest followers that might be encouraging to you today. In the New Testament portion of the Bible, there's a book called Mark that contains the most succinct account in the Bible of Jesus' life on earth. And early in his ministry, according to Mark, Jesus performed dozens, if not hundreds, of healing miracles. Sometimes it just says he healed a lot of sick people. He healed people who were ill. He healed people who were paralyzed. But one of the other prominent patterns that we see in Mark is that Jesus healed people who were demon-possessed. Now, we're not going to get too hung up today on the exact nature of demon possession. It's an interesting topic, but theologians for the last two millennia have been debating and disagreeing about exactly what condition this was referring to. On one extreme, there's the belief that demon possession refers to unseen evil spiritual beings that take over the body and behaviors of a person under their control. And on the other extreme, there are theories that what would have been called demon possession in ancient times would probably be associated with some significant medical problems today. And we're not going to solve that debate, but we can agree on this. When Mark talks about people who were demon possessed, he's clearly talking about people who needed help because they were a danger to themselves. Some of the stories about demon-possessed victims in Mark talk about people who were known to injure themselves through self-harm. And so Jesus was healing people who had significant struggle. And as Jesus was training up his disciples, he also gave them power and spiritual authority to help people in situations like that. Then, later on, Jesus sent his disciples out in pairs to do ministry and to report back. In fact, Mark chapter 6 says that the disciples went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and they anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And at that point, Jesus' followers must have felt, these disciples must have felt, like they were living in a dream. They'd been invited from their very average lives to follow this miracle worker who seemed to be capable of anything. But more than that, they themselves were being empowered to do some of the same incredible things that Jesus was doing. The spiritual journey that they were on must have felt so invigorating. But they had some challenges that were in store for them. And in Mark chapter 9, they ran into a problem. Mark tells us about a moment when a crowd was gathered and they were arguing. The crowd was arguing with Jesus' disciples. And then Jesus walks up and asks, "What's going on? What are you arguing about?" And a man in the crowd gave this answer. He said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid." Now, you get the idea about how extreme and dangerous this boy's condition was. But then this distraught father says to Jesus, he says, "I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they couldn't do it." Which brings us to the moment of crisis for the disciples. Because they've been on this journey with Jesus, and they've been witnesses to some really incredible moments, and they've been included and equipped to participate in changing the world, but suddenly they hit a wall. Suddenly, things got a lot harder.
And there's a problem in front of them that they don't know how to solve. And it's creating doubts and it's creating questions about what's going on. And so the disciples, Jesus' closest followers, are struggling. But as that's going on, Mark tells us that Jesus intervened. Jesus healed the boy who was demon-possessed. And while that was amazing, the disciples were distracted and confused. So after a little while, when they had a minute alone with Jesus, they questioned him about it. Verse 28 says, "After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why couldn't we drive it out?' And Jesus replied, 'This kind can only come out by prayer.'" And that's all he said about it, or at least all that Mark reports to us. But here's the thing. In the heat of the moment, in the retelling of how Jesus healed the young boy, when all eyes were on Jesus, waiting for him to do this healing, he didn't stop to say a prayer. It wasn't that Jesus was teaching his disciples about some ritualistic magic words that they could have used to make one miracle attempt work while all the other ones failed. What Mark has already established through the first 9 chapters of the book is that Jesus was in the habit of getting away by himself to pray. He was already deeply connected to the Father before he ever met the guy whose son needed help. It was Jesus's deep personal connection to God that prepared him to walk the road and serve the people that were in front of him. And that's what he's trying to teach his disciples. That you're more prepared for what's ahead when you're tuned in to what God said. When you've spent time with God. When listening to God is your normal routine. When you acknowledge your own tendency to want to be in charge, but you take the time to intentionally stop and spend time with God and say, "I did it again, God. I tried to take over. Please, would you get back in the driver's seat?" When you do that, then when chaos shows up at your doorstep, you may still be surprised, but you're not in it by yourself. It's not the disciples' power that was going to drive the demon out. It wasn't their knowledge or their charisma that was going to get it done. It was only by their trust and dependence on the power of God that they could do what was needed in that moment. And I think that's an important message for you and for me in the situation that we're facing together right now. You see, while the circumstances of our lives got harder this last week due to the coronavirus, the demand on our spiritual lives got tougher too. It's like you've been asked to climb higher and higher up a mountain with less and less oxygen. We're being asked to trust God in some brand new ways. We're being required to be patient and to wait for God to provide some of the things that we need. And we're being confronted with new needs that are going to need to be filled and new ways that our community needs our help. And just like you can't simply muster up more oxygen when you're climbing in the mountains, you can't just muster up spiritual strength and endurance on your own. There's only one source. And maybe the best thing that could come out of this coronavirus event for you and for me would be an increased awareness of how utterly dependent we are on God. When life is just business as usual, and our pantries are stocked, and no one that we love is sick, and our bank account seems solid, it is so easy, and I'm talking to myself here too, it is so easy for us to forget. Now, none of those things are bad. It's wonderful when we're healthy and safe. Those are beautiful blessings, but sometimes we can allow the blessings in our own foolishness. We can allow the blessings to camouflage our dependence on God. We were dependent on God 2 weeks ago, weren't we? We were dependent on God 2 weeks ago when we were still meeting here in this room, and we're dependent on Him now when we're socially distant out of necessity, and the only thing that changed was that we can see it much easier now. The blinders have been taken off. So what does this mean for you? Has your life just got harder and the road ahead looks difficult? What does this mean for you? And what does it mean for me? Well, here's what I'm sure of. In the coming days and in the weeks and months ahead, our families and our neighbors and our community, they're going to need our help. Our families, neighbors, and community are going to have needs that seem huge and worries that we weren't even thinking of just a couple of weeks ago. And God calls Jesus followers to serve those who need help. But we're going to be dealing with problems and worries of our own, and the problems that are facing our community are going to feel enormous. The mountain is getting steeper. And if we're going to bring hope to the world, it's not going to happen by our own strength or by our own charisma or even by our own resources. If we're going to bring hope to the world, it's going to be because we've been tuned in to God. The way we'll be able to help is by letting God help through us. So right now is a time for action. Right now is the time to plug in. This is the moment that can't be put off any longer. If you're a Jesus follower, you need to be leaning into your relationship with God right now. That means using this time of stillness and canceled events to seek God. Use the resources that our church is providing to help you do a deep dive or an introductory study to begin to get to know God better. And use this time to listen to God. Buckle down. Make yourself sit in the quiet. Give the moment room for listening rather than for making requests. If you start today and you only make it 1 minute, that counts. But you've got to build a stamina for stillness in your spiritual life. And you've got to use this time. You should use this time to serve others. For this unique moment in time, that means staying home unless you're on the front lines. And it means praying for those who are on the front lines, praying for the sick, praying for the medical workers, praying for those whose jobs can't be done from home, praying for the researchers and for the decision makers. Set a reminder for yourself at the same time of day, every day, to remind you to pray. Make it a habit, maybe every morning when you take your medicine, make it a habit that reminds you to pray for the people who are serving during this uncertain time. Let's take this opportunity and make it a priority to spend time with God. Let's plug in like never before so that we'll receive the strength we need to serve our community in the ways that help the most. So that later on when we are asked to climb a mountain that we know we don't have enough oxygen to summit on our own, we'll be prepared because we've been tuned in to God. I'm praying for you. And I'd love to pray for you now. Father, I want to bless everybody who has been listening to this message. We understand, Father, that in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the challenge, in the midst of some of the fears and anxieties and worries that are happening during this coronavirus quarantine, in the midst of all of that, Father, you're calling to us. Calling to us and asking us, inviting us, pleading with us. To trust you, to lean into you, to become more connected with you. And Father, as we witnessed, as we read through Mark chapter 9, we've seen that those who are connected to you have the opportunity to be used to show you and your power and your grace and love to the world. And so, Father, I don't know everything that's in store for us. I don't know everything that's in store for our church over the coming weeks and months. But I know that the needs are going to be big. That the needs of our community and our world are mounting. And, Father, by your grace, we're honored to be invited to serve the world in your name. And so, Father, I'm praying that you would be utilizing this time when we're separate from each other, to be preparing us for a moment, preparing us for a season of pouring ourselves out and sharing your love with the world. Father, thank you for the love that you gave to us that has changed our lives first so that we would be even open to hearing this message. And I pray for those who need to hear this message, that they would hear your invitation and maybe even through the service that we can share, in Jesus' name and amen. May God bless you. And may you have a fantastic week, and thanks for tuning in today.